How can we go from the only match in English football history to have been abandoned due to a shortage of players to an ex-Arsenal keeper who is the current Polish Juventus number one?
Hello and welcome back to Wikipedia Wanderers. Josh, how are you?
Pretty good.
Yeah?
Pretty good.
Good. Yeah. I'm going to admit this is fake energy because I am hungover.
So I'm a little bit fatigued as well because I had a volunteering day at work yesterday, and I normally spend 99.9% of my time pretty much in this position at a desk, but I had a volunteering day. We cleared out a big area of scrubland on the Warren down in Folkestone for a fair few hours chopping stuff, so I'm pretty fatigued.
Can I hazard a guess that you've got a bad back?
Do you know what? It's more quads. We're squatting.
Okay.
The quads are doing stuff. Yeah. The quads are screaming at me. Need to do one of those, stretch my quads out. That's far too painful normally.
Yeah.
And I normally just avoid it and go, a few days later, they'll be fine.
Exactly. Yeah. Back onto the Wikipedia Wanderers, Josh. We go through every episode and we've decided that we should talk about the actions that we've had from a previous episode.
We've been in meetings at work before and it's a recurring meeting. Actions from last week, have they been sorted? So action from last week was around the PFA Team of the Year page, which I think you took the action. Do you want to kind of elaborate on what you found, and have you completed that action? Can we tick it off?
So I think we can tick it off. The action is null and void, I would say.
I'd say it's actually
been closed without action, is that, if that is even the way to phrase it. It was a big action as well, because you jovially said I'd have to change every single page of the PFA Team of the Year awards that was there. But I misread it in the episode, Josh. It wasn't that Peter Shilton had won it the most times and then somewhere else on the page said Kenny Sampson had actually won it the most times. Peter Shilton won it the most times in the top division of English football. Kenny Sampson has won it the most times across all divisions of English football. So there is no
Kenny Sampson must have dropped down and won some at lower league. Okay.
Exactly.
Right, I get you. All is clear. No more actions. We'll close it off. Hopefully a few more actions from today's episode because we like to keep things tidy.
We do. And you're starting us off, aren't you, with the Battle of Bramall Lane.
Yeah. For those of you who don't know, and I didn't know, even though this has happened very much in my wheelhouse in my lifetime, I was reading around exciting Wikipedia pages and there's a sports section on Wikipedia and this popped up. I was like, the Battle of Bramall Lane. Okay, maybe that happened in like the 1890s. Nope. 16th of March, 2002. Neil Warnock, Sheffield United. Gary Megson's West Brom. I think it's safe to say, if this was live on Sky, we wouldn't be tuning in.
No.
Especially if this was even first division as well. This wasn't top tier. But what the spectacle it turned out to be. Match was abandoned after 82 minutes with a score 3-0 to West Brom, and that was upheld. Do you remember this?
No. Yes and no. I don't remember it as a game. I don't have a recollection of it. But I do know about it as being one of a handful of games across the world that's ever been called off due to this rule.
Three, according to Wikipedia.
No recollection. Nope. So talk us through it, Josh.
Okay, so we have Sheffield United kind of mid-tabling, West Brom vying for promotion, as they normally do in the second tier, because they're a bit of a yo-yo side. But really, Sheffield United and West Brom have nothing between them. There's no rivalry. There's no animosity between the two clubs. However, Sheffield United midfielder Santos and West Brom midfielder Andy Johnson, from when he was at Nottingham Forest, had a little bit of a coming together. And it left Santos with a fractured eye socket. And he underwent a 5.5-hour operation. He spoke with lawyers about a potential legal action. So I've already set up that might have something to do with the actions that went on that day.
Was it a bad tackle?
So it's one of those where the ball's gone up in midfield and two players have come together to challenge for it. Arms are out.
Yeah.
And both arms are out, but one's collided with elbow. And I think Santos believes it was a vicious kind of premeditated attack, whereas I think Johnson goes, oh, it's just one of those things.
Yeah, okay.
Feels like Santos didn't let it go. Okay, so we get to the game. Starts pretty badly for Sheffield United. If your side had any player sent off after 9 minutes, let alone your goalkeeper, you'd think, this is going to be a long day.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. So a keeper comes rushing out, the player's through on goal, comes rushing out, tries to lob him, and the keeper's got his hands above his head, and it hits it. Keeper then goes down his knees, maybe doing a bit of a Steven Taylor, pretending he's been kicked in the face or something.
Yeah.
No. So straight away, sub has to be used. Peter Unlove comes off. They bring on substitute goalkeeper Wilco Devot, a player I do not know.
No, not a household name.
We then have West Brom going 1-0 up. little bit into the second half, they go 2-0 up. So Neil Warnock goes, I'm throwing my dice. I'm using my last two subs. I'm going to turn this game around. So we have Santos and Sufo on the bench. On the 64th minute, they come on, thinking this game's going to change.
Game changes.
You're right. You're right, it's going to change, because they are both sent off in the 65th minute.
That is crazy. On 60. Can you imagine back in the day on teletext, page 360, I want to say it was.
Was it 302.
302, mate. It was 302. Yeah, page 302. And you're there and you're refreshing and it does all the other scores and it comes back round. 65th minute, two players sent off. You're like, they're not in the starting 11. When did they? What's happened there? You have to wait until...
They've been you know, sent off from the bench. Nope, we brought them on a minute before.
Yeah, and like you'd have to wait until match of the day or whatever the equivalent would have been for the old first division to watch it and see the highlights, and it'll be like, that is crazy. But yeah. So anyway, talk a bit more around the incident.
So I mentioned the beef that Santos had with Johnson. Ball drops in midfield. Johnson takes control of it. Santos, I don't think he cares how late he is. He's coming in. And not only does he come in and tackle his shin in a sliding tackling challenge, he keeps his leg coiled and then kicks out to add more force sliding in. That Santos is red. Done, obviously.
Definite red. But definite.
One of my favourite things in football happened after that. Melee.
You love a melee.
And Sufo, who I presume, I'm going to say, has been riled up by Santos on the bench for the previous 64 minutes, just headbutts Derek McInnes right in front of the referee. Bam, headbutt, blood, great, you're off. So Sheffield United, two goals down and three men down. Now, the reason this game was called off, because you cannot go beneath seven players. There's some rumours, and they mentioned this Wikipedia page around Neil Warnock knows this fact. Because what happens from here on in is a little bit suspicious. I don't know what McInnes has done, but Sheffield United's Keith Curl challenges him and then flails at him behind his back and tries to punch him. And then McInnes again was kind of running through, not really a full break, but Michael Brown grabs onto him, already on a yellow, grabs onto him and pulls him to the ground. The referee, in a decision he'll later regret, does not send either player off. Feels like Sheffield United are going, blimey, they're not sending us off. What will we do now? Injuries.
Clever.
Michael Brown goes off with a groin injury and Rob Ollathorne goes off with, I think, an ankle injury. So they're now beneath the level of players. They have six players left on the pitch. They've conceded, obviously, before this. It's 3-0. And so, in accordance with Law 3, of the laws of a game, the match should not continue if there are fewer than seven players on either team. And so, it was then, in the 82nd minute, drawn to a halt. I mean, that's fantastic. As a fan, you're not missing out on much football at that point, really, are you? It's 8 minutes. It's been pretty exciting before that. You've seen three goals, three sending offs, melees, a further two red cards that should have been given. I think you got your money's worth, yeah?
Yeah, yeah. I mean, it was at Sheffield United, so they're probably not too happy as fans. But
I'm not sure how many fans are still there.
Yeah, well, that's true. Yeah, that's true.
But, I mean, a fantastic day. So, I've got some quotes that were on a Wikipedia page. The most beef that came out of this is managerial.
Oh.
Gary Megson saying, I've been in professional football since I was 16. I'm now 42. I've never, ever witnessed anything as disrespectful, as disgraceful as that. And this is Warnock about Megson. I wouldn't shake his hand in a million years. I wouldn't piss on him if he was on fire.
That's animosity. That is true animosity to a person. Unbelievable.
Now, players, Sheffield United players in that match have had a chance to reflect on the outcome. Some regret it, some don't. Sufo has explained his actions were solely in defence of his teammate Santos and described it as a highlight of his career, on par with winning the 2000 Olympics and playing in the 2002 World Cup for Cameroon.
Wow, that is...
Double down. Yes, I loved it. More of that.
Unbelievable. That is unbelievable.
But Michael Brown, I think, has gone on to describe it as bizarre and crazy and spoke of his regret being involved in such a match. He was being interviewed on BT Sport as a bit of a pundit, so maybe had to be a bit more decorum than Sufo going, loved it.
Yeah, and also Michael Brown went on to have a bit more of a career, whereas Patrick Sufo, I want to say his name was, I can't remember what happened to him.
Well, yeah, Sufo and Santos' careers were... Sheffield United were ground to a halt at that point. Both banned for six games. And I think they both left the club. I think one of them left the club almost immediately. And then by the summer, because this was in March, they both out of Sheffield United. Because I think behind the scenes, there's probably a little bit of regret around how some players have performed.
Yes, I imagine your teammates would be very annoyed at you for coming on the pitch and flying into a tackle. 90 seconds later, wasn't it? I think it's 64th to 65th.
Yeah. So I would recommend going to try and find that on, as Sky Sports have got a little section about it, like a 5-minute video. It's fun to watch, just to see a bit of melee, see some challenges, because I've told you what the most scary thing of that match. So, you know, Darren Moore was West Brom manager for a while. Centre-back, big imposing centre-back. He is there on the halfway line when it's walking off, and he is just looking just aggressive. Like, he's going to, like, what is going on? Why are you doing this? I will tear someone in two if this keeps happening. And I don't want to upset Darren Moore. No. That is a sight.
Nice.
Yeah. And finally, I mentioned there's three matches. I do mention the other two matches involved. So we have a match between Uruguay and Ecuador. Ecuador received 5 red cards in that match, but it was abandoned at 1-1, so that's pretty impressive.
Wow.
Not quite sure what timings, so that means, I'm not sure, it's not clickable. And then we also have, that was in 1977. In 2001, we had Portugal v Angola. It was 5-1 Portugal, so you can imagine it was the Angolans. 4 red cards and the player being injured after they'd used all their subs. So a couple of instances, but nothing since this one. This was the latest one, I think.
Yeah, and the only club match as well.
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah, very, very interesting. Very interesting, Josh. Okay, why? Why did you pick it?
It enticed me. I'd read Battle of Bramall Lane. I thought, I don't know what this is. And because it was more recent times, I was like, I should know this. Because they have the page there of the details of the match. We've got some players that we all know. We had once spoken about as a highly regarded centre-mid, Michael Tung. Do you remember him?
Yes. Yeah, I remember
him. He was
him.
Talked about. We have Phil Jagielka playing in centre-mid in those days, in his younger days. Again, had a very good career. On West Brom side, we have Neil Clement. Do you remember left-back Neil Clement?
Yeah.
And Danny Dicchio, Scott Dobby. There's Rule Fox was on the unused substitute on the bench. There's some interesting players from those times. So I thought, you know what, I'm going to read about this because I didn't know, and I thought it'd be a bit more educational.
Nice. Very good. Yeah. Very good. Well, the end point, Josh, is...
Yes.
A player that when I text you this is going to be my end point, your one sentence back to me was, I don't like him.
That is correct.
Yeah, this will be interesting. Wojciech Szczęsny, I'm going to say I've nailed the name.
I think you've got it bang on there, yeah.
Is my choice. He's got a pretty interesting Wikipedia page, I'd say. There's nothing massively standout, but he's had a very good career, and I think he's quite a good goalkeeper. You feel the opposite. You think
overrated.
He's overrated. So
yeah, I'm amazed he's Juventus number one. They could do so much better.
Potentially, but he got some good quotes on his page about that. We'll get onto them in a bit minute. He's actually won quite a lot as well, Wojciech Szczęsny. His first season at Juventus, he was back up to Buffon, did a domestic double, took over from Buffon, getting the number one spot, won the Serie A title. He got a nomination for the Yashin Trophy in 2019 as the world's best goalkeepers. He got a third consecutive league title the following season, won the best goalkeeper in Serie A award as well. We probably remember him more from his time at Arsenal, right? That's, you know, we watched him week in, week out, playing for Arsenal.
Yep.
Tall, promising. Would you say that he was promising at a young age? Did you see something to say?
Well, he must have made his... So he's playing for Arsenal. He played 38 games in the 2011-12 season. So 2011, he'd been 21. So he's getting in there, isn't he?
Yeah.
So they always think, oh, this guy... If you're a goalkeeper playing week in, week out, age 21 for what was then a top club, you... couldn't resist. I think... You think, oh, they're going to get better and better. Because you see, I think it's the John O'Shea element of it. John O'Shea burst on the scene at Man United.
Yeah.
He thought, okay, he's a really good player, really composed. And I think he can only get better. But some players stagnate. I wouldn't say Szczęsny has improved dramatically from that time.
I would say I think I've seen him get better since he's been in Italy. I think he's definitely got better since he's been in Italy. But he was described as, young, promising, talented goalkeeper, possessed significant athleticism, strong reflexes, agility, shot-stopping, etc., etc. It's very positive. He occasionally came under criticism in the media for technical mistakes of errors in judgment, particularly on crosses, which I think is where we remember him making most of his errors, coming for high balls into the box. This is what I like about Wikipedia, because this isn't referenced in the page.
Lovely.
It's just a sentence. He has a lack of discipline off the pitch, including an incident in which he was reportedly fined by the club after being caught smoking in the showers.
If you talk of indiscretions off the pitch, I think of Szczęsny smoking. That's what I think of.
Yeah.
I'm not sure there's been much else.
That's fine. Just leave it as smoking. Who is there in the showers that's then put it on Wikipedia to say he was smoking in the showers?
Now, what are we thinking here? Let's go a little bit deeper to this. Are we thinking this is while showering nude with other people, he's smoking? Or are we thinking it's before the match, I'm going to just tuck myself away in the showers,
ooh,
which has maybe got an extractor fan,
like
and just smoke there.
Going back to school, behind the bike sheds, just popping
exactly,
around the bike sheds for a quick
just
smoke.
Place, rather than being nude and wet, rubbing himself with soap.
I picture it. Well, I don't picture it, which is a bit weird.
All right.
In my head, I'm imagining it was after Man United 8, Arsenal 2, and he is the last one left in the shower, and he's like, that was so shit, I need a cigarette. That's how I sort of picture it. But anyway, again, love this little fact. During his career in England, his surname was often shortened to Chesney, as in Chesney Hawks, because English people can't say his family name was Chesney very well. And in Juventus, the trend continued. A lot of people could say Chesney correctly, so he got the nickname Tech, T-E-K. I don't know why.
Does it elaborate? No elaboration on that?
No, okay. There's no elaboration on that. When Buffon returned to Juventus on a free transfer, Chesney offered him the number one shirt and Buffon turned it down. So Chesney did offer it back to him. Buffon turned it down saying, why would I take it? You're the number one goalkeeper. And a bit of trivia for you, Josh. What number did Buffon take?
Ooh, wasn't it the year of his birth? Something like, is it like a 70-odd number?
Ooh,
or 30?
It's 77. It's 77, and he took it because that was the shirt he wore at Parma before he moved to Juventus.
Ah, the good old Parma days. Buffon, Cannavaro, Turan, yeah. Lovely days. Yeah.
What a team. And then it goes into actually having some quotes from Chesney himself on his page about the difference about England and Italy training session. And he basically says, at Arsenal, it was all just about, well, here you go. At Arsenal, you just prepare physically for the game. In Italy, you watch films analysing specific opponents for what they do, how they work, and what didn't work for those teams. Upon his arrival at Juventus, his teammate Buffon named him as the best goalkeeper in Serie A during the previous season. While in October that year, Buffon described Chesney as being a younger but better goalkeeper than himself.
Yeah, exactly. But that's the point. Well, do you have the mentality? Do you have a desire to be better than that, though? You can fluctuate for 8 years. You can be, you know, at age, if you compare people of the same age, though, look back, oh, he's better than me. We talk about Ravel Morrison, for example.
Yeah, true.
Sir Alex Ferguson said he was the most talented teenager he'd ever seen. That was a quote similar to that.
Yeah.
Okay. You need to be the most talented 28-year-old, 29-year-old, 30-year-old as well, don't you, to actually put those words into motion.
That is very true. I'm surprised by a few things on Chesney's page, that his most appearances for a club is still at Arsenal, and he was only actually playing for them for 5 years.
Correct,
so,
yeah. It all ended with Petr Cech joining Arsenal, didn't it?
It did.
That's how it
did.
Came to an end.
And Arsene Wenger said he didn't know whether to keep Chesney to learn from Petr Cech or get him experience going out on loan. And that's when he went to Roma on his loan spell, did well, which is why Juventus bought him.
A move I'd forgotten, actually.
Yeah. Loan move to Roma.
Forgotten the Roma move.
It was good. But, I mean, got a decent on the list. FA Cup 2014 and 2015. Community Shield 2014. League Cup runner-up in 2011. Juventus, Serie A, 2018-19 and 20, Coppa Italia 18-21, runner-up in 20, Supercoppa Italia 2018 and 20, Premier League Golden Glove in 2014, Liga Serie A Goalkeeper of the Year in 2020. So he's got a few things. I'm very intrigued of how we're going to get from the Battle of Bramall Lane to Chesney. I mean, there's a lot of times I'm like, I don't know how this is going to happen, and last episode was very similar to this, where it's like they're so far apart, I literally can't picture any way to get there. We need a Georgie Kinkladze random name drop of a club again, something like that.
Yeah, so let's have a real remember of those honours. So we've got FA Cup wins in 2013 and 2014, which would help. Serie A, again, I don't know, Serie A leagues. Premier League Golden Glove, if we can get to a goalkeeper who would have won that as well.
Oh, potentially, potentially. If there's a list of winners, which you'd imagine there would be. The Polish national team could be a route in.
Polish national team. Okay, so let's have a quick scan back. So Battle of Bramall Lane, what spring points have we got? We've got, obviously, the clubs. We've got First Division. We've got the players mentioned. Is there any Polish players within there? No, we have a few nationalities. We have a few Dutch players. We have a Zimbabwean in Peter Undlove. We have a Canadian in Pescas Salido. We have, George Santos was from, I don't know that flag. We're not allowed to hover, so I'm not quite sure what George Santos's flag is. We've got Rule Fox, is it a Montserrat, I think Rule Fox was?
Yeah.
But nothing Polish jumping out.
I mean, Neil Warnock and Gary Megson are two clickable links.
Neil Warnock is one that I would be more interested going down. Gary Megson is something that does not entice me in the slightest. Interestingly, the referee has a clickable link.
Yeah, I noticed that.
I'm going to guess it's English referee who refereed the Battle of Bramall Lane.
Yeah.
Clicks on that.
I'd imagine so. Yeah, I'd probably imagine so. I did just catch my eye. You said both of the players left the club. There was a very quick thing here. Even better to show how different Sofo and Santos's career paths went. Less than 2 months after the match, Sofo left and joined Numancia in Spain. Santos was released in the summer and signed for Grimsby Town on trial.
In that legacy, we have 2000 Olympics, Liverpool, 2002 World Cup. We have Cameroon, which may be the country, may be the national team. Where are we thinking?
I mean, Neil Warnock is probably jumping out of me, but Darren Moore, he's going to have a lot, isn't he? Player, manager, it'll span over a long time.
But a lot of it's in England.
Yeah, true.
I don't know what the careers of some of these players, like, for example, Patrick Sufo, what have we got in there?
That's the thing. Part of me was thinking, do we actually want to click on someone that started the melee? Like, got involved in the melee, kicked it all off, Santos or Sufo?
I think that's a lovely place to start, actually, Dave.
Yeah, so which one you... Sufo? Should we... We know that he's gone to Numancia, because it's red in, it's in here, but I've no idea where he came from.
No. I say Patrick Sufo.
All right. Patrick Sufo.
Do it. Patrick Sufo Kengne. Cameroon footballer who played as a striker, and we have a lovely career down the right-hand side here. It seems like the first professional one was Barcelona B.
Yeah, a loan, a youngster loan. Barcelona B, 26 appearances, 4 goals. So clearly had something about him at Nantes if Barcelona wanted a closer look.
Then not keep him for 30 appearances, 4 goals. Sheffield United, the new Man City loan we've obviously referenced. Al Hilal, Coventry City, Dubai Club, where he had a cracking record, 13 goals in 15 appearances, because he just played for a very, I don't know, some Sheik's club. I don't know what he's done there. But then I think that moves odd. He moves to Odd Grenland there. Maccabi Petah Tikva, not the Haifa or Tel Aviv's.
No.
I've never heard of that one. He seems to like playing in notable places for less notable clubs.
I was just thinking that, yeah.
Barcelona, B. Maccabi Petah Tikva. Ash Dodd. Coventry United.
Yeah.
He's been duped by his agent, like Robinho was. Yeah, you're moving to Manchester. Yeah, you're going to Barcelona. Yeah. You're going over to Maccabi. Yeah. You're going to Coventry.
Yeah.
You sure? Yeah, got it all sorted.
I mean, not many games in there. Some phenomenal scoring stats. 12 in 10 at Al Hilal. Dubai Club, 13 in 15. Ash Dodd,
Middle East.
1 in 1. I mean,
I do not know. Do you know anything about Ash Dodd?
Nothing. I don't even know where it is. It's wedged in between Israel and a club I'd assume is in Spain, of Portolano. He's got some air miles as well, isn't he?
Loves
bloody
it.
Hell. Well played, Sufo, on the air miles. Yeah.
Hello. His indiscretion at Sheffield United might not be his only one. So we obviously touched on that in the Battle of Bram Lane. The sentence before it. His career was littered with disciplinary problems. Whilst at French club Nantes, he was banned from playing for 8 months for lashing out at a referee. So I think the referee got away lightly just witnessing the headbutt on Derek McInnes and didn't get one himself.
Yeah, I think so. Oh, my word. In May, he received a £3,000 fine and was banned for 3 games in addition to a 3-match suspension already served for the dismissal for Sheffield United.
It's a nomadic career. He's been through different clubs. We've got a few different clubs to choose from there. Obviously, his international career down the bottom. He played in the 2002 World Cup. We were sent off in the final group game against Germany.
Unbelievable.
But in the 2002 African Nations, he did score a penalty during a shootout as they beat Senegal.
In the final? Okay. Yeah.
Yeah, so he has that in his honours. He has the African Cup of Nations and the 2000 Olympic Games. We have Nantes, we have the Coupe de France and the Trophée des Champions. So we have a few places to pick. We have a number of B-list clubs.
Yeah, a number of them.
A number of B-list clubs, which I really don't think is going to offer too much to us.
No. I'm quite tempted by Cameroon.
Full clickable link to Cameroon national team.
Yeah. That or the Africa Cup of Nations, I think, could link us potentially towards Arsenal.
We've had a few Cameroonians. We obviously had Alex Song, Lauren, but who would have overlapped with Chesney?
Yeah, that's... Lauren, maybe, end of his career? No.
No, I'd say it's more likely Alex Song, isn't it?
Yeah, it probably is Alex Song.
So you thinking Cameroon national team, we've also got 2002 African Cup of Nations. African Cup of Nations obviously offers different nationalities.
It does. It's the old problem, Josh. How?
That's not too big.
The African Cup of Nations.
The 2002 African Cup of Nations.
Oh, we could, yeah, okay, we could go specific. I'm interested. 2002 African Cup of Nations.
This is well before Chesney, though.
It is very far before Chesney. It's 7 years before he even started his senior career. Is it a risk? I mean, we could go to the 2002 FIFA World Cup.
We could.
Which would definitely link us into Arsenal players that would have played with Chesney.
Why is that definite? It's the same time period. Why are you so definite about that?
I think it's... true. Maybe I'm not sure.
I think the one which you've got more chance is the Cameroon national team, because I think you're going to have...
A list of notable players.
Yes, but you're going to have to click on that, make sure you click on that player who's played in the world, who's played in the FA Cups, maybe that Chesney's played.
Yeah.
I'm more interested by the 2002 African Cup of Nations, if I'm honest.
Let's go for it. I sent us down absolute shit show last week, so you can hopefully send us down one today. Yeah. Let's go then. 2002 Africa Cup of Nations. So then, the 2002 African Cup of Nations, 23rd edition of the African Cup of Nations, hosted in Mali. I think there's a lot for us to learn here, Josh, because have you ever watched the African Cup of Nations as like a tournament? I've dipped in and out, but I've never really watched it.
No, I'm the same. It's been on like BBC 3 or something like that. Yeah. I vaguely remember it. And I must admit, in its early days, well, not its early days, because this is a 23rd edition, probably around this time, it was most notable for very erratic defending and goalkeeping. It was like, wow, that's gone. That's just, the keepers rushed out there, and it's more some frantic, quite fast-paced in times. But, I mean, we're playing in January and February in Mali. It's not going to be that cool, is it? So it's a good page, though. We've got a lovely map on the right-hand side of participating countries, so you can see who's involved.
Yeah.
We have a list of all of the countries involved. So we have your big hitters. You have your Ghanas, your Nigerias, your Senegals, your Cameroons. You've got some big boys there. And, oh, this is lovely. So each group has got each match split out and has the goal scorers for each match. So we've got some crack on. So Group A, we've got Nigeria, Mali, Liberia, Algeria. We've got George Weah scoring.
George Weah in 2002 in front of a sellout crowd.
Okay, I'm going to name a player, okay? And I want you to name the Premier League side he's played for. George Weah.
Chelsea.
George Weah. Chelsea. There we go.
Yeah, sorry.
We have, second match. Nigeria, 1-0 against Algeria. Akahawa.
Wigan.
Yes.
More known for his time at Shakhtar, though, on Champ Manager 0102.
Oh, Shakhtar. Going down to Group B. Got anybody in Group B that I'm not sure? Oh, I remember Nomzete for South Africa. I'm not sure he had a time in England.
Oh, not that I remember.
No, it's a bit more of a niche group. This, I mean, Ghana played, but scored. Oh, only Boyake scored in the final match, but I don't recall him. Group C, we've got some more. Group C, Cameroon 1, Dr. Congo 0, Patrick Mboma.
Sunderland,
yeah. Oh, but now we're Cameroon flying now. Eto'o.
Chelsea.
And?
Well, not in the Premier League, only Chelsea.
Oh, you're doubling down on that, are you?
Well, no, because I'm clearly wrong. But who else did Samuel Eto'o play for in the Premier League?
It would be Everton.
Everton? I'd wipe that from my memory.
Have you? Yeah. I thought you'd be like, oh, Everton.
No, when did that happen?
Around the same time as Chelsea. It was, I think he transferred from Chelsea to Everton, I think.
Oh, wow. Okay.
Now, the third scorer in that match, I think it's Salomon Alembe. Do you remember him?
No.
I think as a left-footed midfielder, sometimes played left mid. I think he was at a stint at Leeds.
Okay.
Dr. Congo scorer in the final match, Nonda. Shabani Nonda.
I want to say it's like Blackburn Rovers, but...
I think you're right, Blackburn Rovers. Yeah, yeah. Group D, who we got? We got Egypt playing. Oh, we got Mido. Who we got there?
Mido, Spurs and Middlesbrough.
Is it Middlesbrough?
Yeah.
I don't remember Middlesbrough. I thought there was another club, but...
Yeah, definitely Middlesbrough.
Yeah. I'll go for that, yeah. Now we get into the knockout matches. We have Senegal. This is a good Senegal side. We've touched him already. El Hadj Diouf is playing, and Salif Jow.
Yeah. Can I just point out very quickly, sorry, quarterfinal, South Africa versus Mali. Mali's second goal scorer, Dr. Koulibaly.
Lovely. He was on tending to someone and just nodded it in the net.
Yeah, just got his head on it.
Yakubu's playing for Nigeria.
Oh.
And then here we go, Dave. This is maybe a route, but maybe not. So we have a final. Senegal, Cameroon, 0-0 after extra time. We have penalties. We have, I think, Fernand Colley scores for Senegal. Pierre Wome, name Premier League side.
I can only think of Dortmund. That's not...
No, I think it was a Fulham stint, I think.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, we have Patrick Soufo scores for Cameroon. Kalilou Fadiga scores for Senegal. Now here come the misses for Senegal. Faye, Diouf and Cissé all miss. But Laurent of Arsenal fame, Jeremy, and there's a song. I can't know, it's going to be Rigobert's song, isn't it? Because Rigobert's song is mentioned up above.
Yeah,
so it's not Alex. Is there a link? Is there a link between Rigobert and Alex Song?
There could be. I think they're cousins.
Now, here's where you double down. You could go Rigobert Song, Alex Song. Did he play in any of those FA Cup finals that Chesney did?
Oh,
I don't know. I don't know.
Or you've got the Laurent route to Arsenal.
Laurent, then you're taking out Arsenal. No, well, you go Laurent. You have to go Arsenal. Do you have to get some honours unless there's something else in there? I'd say the Rigobert Song is the riskiest click. Okay, so then we've got all the links to all the different years of African Cup of Nations, but I feel like we've already gone to African Cup of Nations. We can't keep going through them and knocking them out. Okay, so where are you feeling? Are you feeling Rigobert Song? Or are you feeling Laurent? I think there are two options currently.
I'm feeling Rigobert Song. I'm also feeling Etu to try and get some sort of memory of this Everton stint.
So Etu would have obviously won the Champions League final against Arsenal. About him again, well before Chesney's time, because
Jens Lehmann
in the Champions League for years.
Yeah. Jens Lehmann got sent off.
So we had last week. We had the Robbie Keane incident, which I regret. Is there anyone we think we're missing here who's got an Arsenal link, which is going to be? Does it have to be Arsenal Juventus link?
I think it could. You could potentially have a Juventus link. I don't know if we're going down looking at this the wrong way.
Okay, what's the right way?
I don't know. There's the right way, the wrong way, and the Max Power way. I don't know, there's just so many good names. Yakubu, Fadiga, Pierre Wome, Rigobert Song. I think I'd like to go Rigobert Song. I think I'd like to go down that route, see that career.
I'm happy going with Rigobert Song. So in the CAF team of the tournament, the second defender mentioned is Rigobert Song. Let's click. Rigobert Song.
Banang. Rigobert Song.
That's why his name is Rigobert Song.
Yeah.
Big page. Lots of stuff going on. Lots of clubs. Some clubs that I don't think we both remember, actually.
I do not remember myself. Him playing for Liverpool.
So we got Metz in France, then Salernitana also in France?
No, Italy.
Italy, yes, you're right. We have West Ham and Liverpool, his Premier League stints. It says he was as a replacement for Rio Ferdinand in his West Ham transfer. So Ferdinand would have moved to Leeds at that time.
Yep.
So that's a... It seems like he was unhappy being described as his being compared to Ferdinand. Believed it was derogatory to his own talent. How'd that turn out? After that, we had a stint in Germany for Cologne. We have Lyon back in France. We have Galatasaray, obviously. Of course, it reeks of Turkish here. Galatasaray and Trabzonspor. Now, currently, the Cameroon under-23s manager. Oh, look at those international stats, though.
137.
Yeah, he is the record for most capped playing in Cameroon history. And he also played in 4 World Cups. That's not where the records end, though. Most consecutive games played in the tournament, in the AFCON, 35 games. And he's obviously won it twice, 2000-2002. He also shares a record with Zinedine Zidane. Not the record you want. No. Player to be sent off, only 2 players to be sent off in 2 different World Cups. One against Brazil in 94 when he was 17. Yeah, 17, yeah. 18. And against Chile in 98. So he learned his lesson. Yeah, because it goes on to say, record of the youngest ever player to be sent off a World Cup. Oh, nickname. Good nickname. Big Chief.
I like that. Big Chief. I wish I was called Big Chief.
Yeah, it would be good, wouldn't it? You're writing your own nickname. That's pretty good. And here's what we came here for, Dave. He's the uncle. A fellow Cameroon defensive midfielder, Alex Song. Is Alex Song still playing?
I don't know. How old would he be? We can't hover on him, so we can't know if it's going to say former professional footballer.
Unless something's jumping out of us, he's our next click.
Yeah, okay, I would agree.
Let's have a little look through, see if there's anything else that catches the eye. I'm just going to scan for links. We have Coventry City linked. Not much use there, because he made his debut, his Liverpool debut against Coventry City.
No, not much. Sunderland, West Ham... There's not too much.
He has a very big international section. Probably the ratio of international to club section is going to be one of the biggest.
Yeah.
I've seen. Reference to Paul Le Guen, who dropped him and dropped Samuel Eto'o. I think it caused a little bit of beef in the camp. Oh, we have a few mentions of... because Paul Le Guen favoured younger players such as the Spurs duo, Sebastian Bassong and Benoit Assou-Ekotto. Interesting. What have we got in personal life? So we have, again, mentioned...
Still lives in Liverpool. That's mentioned in his personal life. Song is married. They have 4 children. They currently live in Liverpool. He's also a national ambassador for Cameroon.
So he only was there a year.
I know. Must have loved it.
I've never been to the city, but it's meant to be very nice, good culture.
It's really nice, Liverpool. Good vibe. It's a really nice city. Yeah. It's a really nice city.
Okay, so the scan has told me nothing. Oh, go. Let's just quickly go down. So we'll have a look through it. He played pretty consistently throughout his career. We've got 417 league appearances. Pretty good. Some honours. So he won the League Cup with Mets in 95-96. Oh, so he was part of the Liverpool's UEFA Cup win, their faux treble.
Yeah, their faux treble, yeah, with Gerard Houllier.
4-3 Alaves or 5-4 Alaves?
Yeah, 5-4 I think it was, wasn't it? Yeah, crazy game.
Won the league with Galatasaray a couple of times, won the Turkish Cup with Trabzonspor, and then obviously what we've mentioned, the African Cup of Nations. Okay, so, oh, and we also have a link for a list of men's footballers with 100 or more international caps.
Szczesny's not on that list.
Szczesny's not on that list. What's Szczesny at?
Szczesny's 57.
Okay, that's more than I thought it'd be.
59. So something that did just jump out at me just on this page is I was very interested to know around what Cameroon A was, because in teams managed, 2016 to 2018 is Cameroon A, and then he became Cameroon caretaker manager. So I had a quick flick down into the international career and the managerial career, and Cameroon A is the Cameroonian team made up of players that only play in Cameroon.
Oh.
So they have two teams. They have a Cameroon national team that you can pick from anyone around the world, and they have Cameroon A, which is picked from only the Cameroonian league, I guess.
I quite like that.
Yeah.
I quite like that. I thought it was going to be amateur. I mean, it may actually coincide. I don't know how many professional teams there are in Cameroon. But
very true. Yeah, very true. But, yeah, I mean, we clicked here, didn't we, to hope there was that. We were doubling down on the link for Alex Song. It's there very early on. Should we just go for it?
Let's do it.
Alexandre Dimitri Song Belong. That's a bit easier to say
Song
than...
Song Belong. Why is he not called Alex Song Belong? That's lovely.
That would be good. It would be good. He is the nephew of former footballer Rigobert Song, currently playing, Josh, in Djibouti for a team who...
You can maybe forgive me, but I didn't know he was still playing.
Yeah, I think we can forgive you, yeah. This team name ticks boxes for foreign team names that I love. It's got a number in it. There's punctuation. It's a brilliant. Yeah. Arta/Solar 7 is who he plays for, as a central or defensive midfielder. He can also play as central defence. I mean, what do you think of Alex Song? What is it? Arsenal? Is it Barcelona?
No,
West Ham?
It's the tail end of his Arsenal career where he I remember playing lots of through balls, like chip balls over top to Van Persie and getting a lot of assists. Probably Van Persie made him look a bit better than he was, but a pretty composed, solid player. Few indiscretions. I've got a vague memory of, and it confirms through here, he's got some, he's stamped on Joey Barton. Again, we can forgive him.
He's got one against Mandzukic, hasn't he? I think he punched him, Mario Mandzukic, in the World Cup, and got sent off when they lost. Yeah, violent conduct after striking Mario Mandzukic as Cameroon were knocked out, losing 4-0 to Croatia. Song later apologised to Mandzukic and the people of Cameroon for being sent off. Very big of him.
It's a big apology. I remember his move to Barcelona didn't really work out. I mean, tales all the time, Barcelona signing players and then working out. Not much has changed.
I don't really remember him at West Ham, which is weird because he made 40 appearances over 2 years.
That is weird. That is a lot of, and that was all in Premier League. That was all in Premier League. Yeah.
Yeah.
It seemed like money was a bit of an instance for a while. Like the Barcelona move, West Ham. I know Ruben Kazan, I always think of money. And it mentions here, actually, he got sacked by Sion. It was one of the, when he was in the Swiss League, he was sacked, as one of 9 players sacked, for refusing to take a pay cut during the coronavirus pandemic. And I'm not saying that's money grabbing. I'm not sure I'd agree to take a pay cut. But, you know, there's elements of it where I think he's maybe didn't make the right decisions footballing-wise.
But that's not what we're trying to find if he links into Szczesny, aren't we, really? That's what we should be focusing on.
So none of the clubs, I mean, we have, obviously, we could use up Arsenal. We don't want to use up Arsenal. We've got nothing else. There's no Ruben Kazan, Sion. I don't think we mentioned Szczesny having a career in Djibouti.
Oh, we do have... During his time at Bastia, he attracted attention. It's a very Georgie Kinkladze list, this is.
His
time at Bastia, he attracted attention from numerous clubs, including Inter, Juventus, Man United, Lyon and Middlesbrough. So we do have a Juventus link in, potentially.
Okay. That's quite a big link, though. We've knocked out Inter Milan.
Yeah.
Do we want to knock out Juventus? We have nothing of Serie A left. It's funny, because this, at the moment, us going from player to player, week in, week out, is easier. But it's going to get harder and harder and harder as it goes on.
It is. It's going to get much harder. Much harder. Yeah, I mean, there's not too much jumping out here. I mean, we love looking at honours.
What's he got?
Oh.
There you go.
First one, first line. First club honours Arsenal. Yeah. Football League Cup. Football League Cup runner up 2010-11. I think that's the same one that was on Chesney's page.
I think you're right, because I remember thinking, oh, with Emmy Martins.
I think that is the same one.
Yeah.
So that's probably the route we'll go down. But he has also won La Liga with Barcelona, Supercopa in Spain, 2013, runner-up 2012. Copa del Rey, 2013-14, was runner-up. Internationally, under-17 championship with Cameroon, the African under-17 championship. Cup of Nations was a runner-up in 2008. And has made the Africa Cup of Nations best 11 in 2008 and 2010. So not that many honours. I'm
surprised there's nothing Arsenal based that he's won anything with, though.
Yeah, true.
He seems to always get an FA Cup every now and then, and he must have missed out on that gravy train.
Yeah, true. I mean, I'm still trying to picture him. There's a photo of him on his page in a West Ham kit, and I'm like, I do not remember that.
What age are we talking there? So we're talking 2014... So he's 20, and again, that's peak. That's 27, 28.
Yeah. I just don't remember. To be honest, I can't even really remember that West Ham kit where they're sponsored by Alpari.
We've gone through Song. There's not much to talk about. A few indiscretions we've mentioned. A couple of fancy clubs that he's played for. A couple of less fancy clubs. Some with punctuation, which Dave likes. I feel we need to go to the League Cup. So we've got the Football League Cup as clickable, and also 2010-11, which I'm going to guess is the League Cup in its entirety rather than final. We haven't got a final.
No,
we don't have Arsenal section.
Oh, that's true. Do we have a final in the Arsenal section? Yeah.
Is it even mentioned?
No, I don't think it is mentioned. Oh, but he did score the 1,000th Arsenal Premier League goal under Arsene Wenger.
That is a stat I hate. I hate the stats. Like, oh, 10,000th goal. Like, no one cares about that. Get out.
Get out.
Well, it looks like I feel we should click on the 2010-11 League Cup.
I think you're right. Yep, let's go for it.
2010-11 Football League Cup. What a year. Oh, this just sums up how good this tournament was. Top scorers, Carlton Cole and Scott Sinclair. 4 goals apiece. Winners, Birmingham, beating Arsenal, as we know. And I remember it well. I remember Nicholas Zigic, the big man mountain, causing them trouble. And then Obafemi Martins, late on. It was 89th minute, actually, scoring a winner. And it was a bit of a defensive mix-up, I feel, if I remember correctly.
Yeah, I think it was. And I'm just thinking of Zigic and Martins as being the ultimate tall man, fast man combo.
That is big little man. That is good, isn't it?
That is unbelievable, yeah, unbelievable. It was the Carling Cup, Josh. Back in the days of the Carling Cup, it was called.
Good times.
Yeah. It's an interesting page. It's given us literally every single result ever of the cup. I was hoping it would be a bit more in depth about just the final, but it's not. It's everything. We've got first round.
Yeah, I thought
there'd
be a
round.
Bit more flower to it. Yeah, it's very factual. It's kept it very much matter of fact. Not many word sections. Very much tabular form, yeah. I'd say. So I'm not sure what we're going to get out of this, because we literally have a lot of clubs we can click on. We have goal scorers, which unlikely to be a goalkeeper.
Yep.
I mean, we have Arsenal's. Arsenal beat Wigan in the quarterfinal. Alcaraz and Bentner. Alcaraz's own goal, obviously, was a Wigan player. Bentner scoring. Semi-finals, we have... Oh, they lost to Ipswich in the first leg, then thrashed on the second leg. Again, Bentner, Koscielny and Fabregas. And then in the final, Van Persie scoring, Zigic and Martins. So I feel, let's not dilly-dally on this page, I think we need to click on the 2011 Football League Cup final.
I agree.
Now, I'm hoping it's not, but Chesney got his run-up here and wasn't named in the squad, because I'm worried.
Oh, yeah.
He was part of the squad overall, but wasn't named on the bench. That's my concern, all right? I'm just going to put it out there. That is my concern.
Okay, I think that's a very valid concern. I'd like to think, even if he's not the starting keeper, he's on the bench. Let's have a look.
Let's click.
Let's have a look. Yeah, so the 2011 Football League Cup final. We know Birmingham won it. We've gone through that. The little man, fast man, the tall man, fast man partnership up front. It does confirm it, that there was a mix-up between Chesney and defender Laurent Koscielny, but that link isn't clickable on Chesney. However, if we go down to the page that we love to look in these finals, Josh, isn't it? We did it with the UEFA Cup earlier on. We've done it with this one. It lays out the teams, the formations, and lists all the players. And Chesney was the starting goalkeeper, but wearing the number 53 shirt.
Number 53, yeah. Lovely, yeah, because it mentions up above there was a few injuries before match. So Fabianski had been ruled out for the season. Thomas Vermaelen wasn't fit. Theo Walcott had sprained his ankle. a few days earlier. Fabregas was also injured. Abu Dhabi, was unsurprisingly injured. So, yeah, maybe that, you know, maybe that's what Arsenal fans look back on and why they lost. Can we not just gloss over the fact that Szczesny made an error? I don't want to gloss over that.
Well, hang on. A long ball from Blues keeper Foster, flicked on by Zigic, appeared to be heading safely into the hands of the Arsenal keeper, but Koscielny attempted to play the ball, therefore distracting Szczesny, causing him to bowl the ball into the path of Martins, who tapped it into an empty net. So I'm going to say the errors of Laurent Koscielny.
Communication.
We don't know if he shouted or not. We don't know if he shouted or not.
Probably didn't. Had a fag in his mouth. Yeah,
he's having a fag behind the goal. And it's, okay, he's clickable. We've got it. We've done
the league. Let's have a look at the players, because there's some good names. I'm going to go with Birmingham first.
Go on then. Go for it.
Ben Foster, you're not a fan. Ben Foster in goal. You always think of him as being weak mentally in his Man United times. I've heard you say it before. It's a bit overly critical, I'd like to say.
Oh God, this is coming out of nowhere. What's this? Yes, I have been a bit critical of him, but I don't think I've been that harsh on him.
Have you watched any of his YouTube channel?
No, I think I need to, though. I think I'd quite enjoy it.
I think so. Yeah, it's quite a nice insight into a life of a goalkeeper. Stephen Carr, my lord. Former Spurs right back, who I thought was done and dusted. Yeah, he got some bad injuries at the tail end of his Spurs career, but just kept on going and going and going, and obviously won the another instance of a player leaving Spurs to win a trophy.
Yep.
We have the relegator, Roger Johnson. Loved getting relegated. Martin Jirinek, Chelsea?
I want to say ex-Chelsea, yeah.
Yeah. Liam Ridgewell, who had that time, Portland Timbers, was it? He won.
Yes, it was in the MLS. Portland Timbers, yeah. Liam Ridgewell, I see Liam Ridgewell as a bit of a relegator as well, wasn't he? Villa, Wolves, Birmingham.
You've just said some clubs who may not have played for, but yeah, I imagine he's got a relegation on his CV. We have Seb Larsson still playing, played at the Euros, I think, didn't he? Yeah.
Yes.
Lovely shape. I imagine he's the one who's played played the ball into the mix, did it say in the description there?
What, for the winner?
Yes.
It was the goalkeeper. It was Ben Foster, flicked on by Zigic.
I thought it feels like it could have been a big, deep, deep right whip ball in his lovely shape. And Barry Ferguson, Craig Gardner, Lee Bowyer played. Oh, my goodness. Kevin Phillips was on the bench.
and
he did play Birmingham.
And they brought on Cameron Jerome ahead of him.
That's a hell of an attacking bench, though. You've got Kevin Phillips, Cameron Jerome, the top goal scorer in the tournament.
Yeah, true.
And Obafemi Martins. Alex McLeish played a blinder. Knew what he was doing. Can't often say that.
No. Cameron Jerome's had a good game there. On in the 92nd minute, booked in the 93rd.
100% time wasting.
Yeah.
100%.
Yeah. Man of the match, Ben Foster.
One-way traffic. So what we got? Yeah, 20 shots from Arsenal, 12 of them on target. So he saved 11 shots. Pretty good.
Yeah. So I'll quickly go through the Arsenal team, which I cannot believe, even with the injuries they had, this team lost to that Birmingham team you've just gone through. Szczesny in goal. Back four of Sanya, Giroud, Koscielny, Clichy. That's a pretty good back four. That's not...
Are you kidding me? Giroud?
Yeah, but he's still he's still only up against Nikola Zigic. I mean, the height difference is going to be a nightmare, but... You know, that's Bakary Sagna, French international. Giroud, Swiss international. Koscielny, French international. Clichy, French international.
I'd say Arsenal's problem at the time was that they had defenders in the same mould. Giroud and Koscielny, neither of them are the dominating who can win big headers. They're both all-round good players. Like Koscielny, I think, was a really good player. Quick, good on the ball.
Yeah.
Reasonably good positioning. But they didn't have the mix. Didn't have the cat and dog defenders. They had...
True.
Yeah.
Moving into midfield, Alex Song, the person that brought us to this page, well, in a roundabout way. Jack Wilshere partnering him in central midfield with Samir Nasri just in front of them. Rzyski on the right, Arshavin starting on the left, and Van Persie.
Arshavin. Oh, I loved a bit of Arshavin.
Yeah?
Yeah. I thought he was really good. I thought it was a talent, yeah.
Nice. Van Persie through the middle. On the bench, Almunia Squillaci. Can you remember him? Sebastian Squillaci?
Yeah, I can remember him. Yeah, absolutely atrocious.
Yeah, might as terrible. Well
be Pascal Segon on there if you want to...
Yeah,
another good name.
That's true. Emmanuel Aboué, Kieran Gibbs, Shamak and Bentner, who both came on.
Shamak
and Bentner. And in a classic Arsene Wenger move, he didn't actually change formation, it looks like. He just brought on Shamak and Bentner for their two most attacking players. I thought they would have... Well, I guess the goal was so late, wasn't it? You probably would have run out of options by then. Yeah, no. Do you remember the game? I think I definitely remember watching it. Like,
I remember cheering a late Obafemi Martins goal.
Yeah.
I remember thinking, because this is just absolute smash and grab stuff.
100%.
Big old kick, defensive mix up, and goal. Yeah, and Arsenal probably should have won. Do you remember Birmingham's ensuing European campaign?
No. I mean, that's true. I completely forgot they would have got into Europe by this. I have
Yeah, they would have qualified to the Europa League by this, yeah.
Yeah. What? No, I have no idea what no.
No.
No, just no. I mean, I can't imagine Alex McLeish managing an English team in Europe, so...
No.
Bizarre. No, absolutely bizarre. Cannot remember that at all. But I think, yeah, very surprised. Very surprised by the result. The teams, a lot of good players in there, like that bring back memories. But I mean, we're here to click on Chesney, aren't we? So should we just go for it?
Let's click it.
Oh, hang on. Just before we click it, there was a moment of contention just 2 minutes into the match as an early Birmingham's chance was created through Lee Bowyer. He appeared to be fouled by Arsenal goalkeeper Wojciech Szczesny in what would probably have been a penalty kick and a red card for the keeper. However, Bowyer had been flagged offside, a decision replays proved to be incorrect. So in the world of VAR, Szczesny would have got sent off for bringing down Lee Bowyer and giving away a penalty in the first 2 minutes of the match.
What a lovely bookend, because we spoke about Basil Bramall Lane and what happened in the 90th minute of that match.
Goalkeeper got sent off.
If only that had happened. There, but alas, we can't speak about Chesney's errors all day. We might as well click on Szczesny.
Okay.
And we have rounded back to Wojciech Szczesny, sorry, for those who want maybe good pronunciation. I'm not sure. And there he is. Do you know? Want to know why I said to you when you first mentioned I don't like him?
Because he's an Arsenal goalkeeper. That's what I assumed.
There was an instance. It was Spurs v Arsenal. I think it was Gareth Bale, and there was a coming together, maybe similar to one of the Lee Bowyer one. Szczesny took out Gareth Bale and got the ball, but then gave a little wink about it, like, "Oh yeah, I've taken him out." Now I can't. I will be rewriting history with the outcome of that match, because I cannot remember, but I've got a feeling that we went on to win that match, and that wink still irks me to this day, though, that he was like, "Oh yeah, I've taken him out."
It's all about a wink.
All about it? A wink, yeah. I mean, I may imagine a number of England fans don't like Cristiano Ronaldo because of a wink as well. Well, we're not talking about Szczesny anymore. That's Ronaldo. But we have managed to go from the Battle of Bramall Lane to Patrick Sufo to the 2002 African Cup of Nations to Rigobert Song, to Alex Song, to the 2010-11 Football League Cup, which was not the treasure trove we thought it would be, so we went to the final, which we then had the listing of Szczesny. We clicked on him, we did the loop, and that is that. A good route. Not many big things ticked out.
I was just about to say that. I'm quite impressed that I think we've done this without any big links going. I thought this was definitely going to be a big link killer somewhere.
Yeah, we've protected Wikipedia. And now... Am I wrong? Have we got any actions we've taken?
We have not found any actions on this one. We might have to go back over it and do a bit more due diligence, looking a bit more in depth, because we had a lot of big pages in this one. Like Szczesny's pages, true. Big Battle of Bramall Lane's big, Rigobert Song had a big international career bit. I feel like we might just have to go over and give it a little comb over once again, just have a double check.
Yeah, agreed. But that brings an end to this week's podcast. So thank you for listening. Feel free to send your suggestions for Wikipedia pages, start, finishes, one, the other, both. But you can find us on Twitter at Wiki Wanderers or on Instagram at Wikipedia Wanderers. But see you next week. Goodbye.
Bye.